Welcome to another eye-opening episode of
Revealing the Truth About Islam,
the show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam.
Exposing the life of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran.
It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dekdok.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is August the 27th of the year of our Lord 2022, and it is Usama Dekdok with you from the state of Missouri. We have a very special guest who is sitting next to me right now, Sister Lynn from the great country of Indonesia. And before we say hello to Lynn, would like to say hello to Christy Johnson from Mississippi. Christy, how are you?
Oh, Usama, I'm fine. Thank you.
And here he is, Paul from Rochester, New York. Not Rochester, Minnesota, but Rochester, New York.
You got it right the first time.
What was it, Paul?
Oh, it's beautiful up here. It's been, we've had a nice amount of rain, and it's finally having some decent rain.
Yeah. You know, by the way, the reason I make a mistake, because I speak in Rochester, Minnesota, more than almost any other city. I was there already this year, but three times, and I'm going back next week. So, it's 2 weeks, so there's a, Minnesota is a blessed place for me. Lots of people love me there, and I go speak in Minnesota and Wisconsin. And we're going to be speaking at some churches in North Minnesota and Wisconsin coming up in the next few. And
don't make copy our name.
Absolutely. And here she is, Lynn, my special friend Lynn. How are you?
I am blessed, brother. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I am blessed. I'm able to meet Brother Usama, his lovely family, his lovely wife, and his beautiful niece. I love them all.
They love you more than
food,
you can imagine.
The food that his wife makes.
Fantastic. People, I'm trying to get you here. If you get here, you're going to be really good, doing good with food. You like to eat? I don't know. Christy's a monkey. She's like chicken. A little bit food there. But Paul, I think you love it if you come with me. So anyway, Paul, Christy's invitation is open to both of you. Come on up. No, you come down and she come up.
Listen, if both of you come to Usama, his wife will cook you. Cook for you. But if both of you come to my house, you have to cook.
You have to cook for her. You see?
I understand.
There's a lot of Christy for coming here because you can enjoy food if you go to Lynn. You have to fix for her food. I mean, I don't think this is so much easier. I know that.
I'm with you, Lynn. But
what?
I understand how she feels. I'm like that too. Please don't invite me to cook for you.
If Christy comes to you, most likely here we go McDonald's and Subway and all that.
No. No, we don't go there. We don't go there. You just get stuff.
You just go to the grocery store and get a bag of salad.
There you go. That's good. Some carrots.
Yep. Well, this is a good introduction. Everybody know Lynn from her ministry, which is called?
WAFM.
We are for Murtadin.
I'm an ex-Muslim.
Sure.
Oh, praise God.
Murtad means the apostate. So we are for the apostate. Anyway, and I see something up here. What's going on with this?
I'm trying to read a straight with Fire Van de Mataram from, I don't know where, Quran May.
That's his name, I think. Yeah. From myself, I think that's the name.
Quran
May Isor.
And we have a greetings from the Philippines.
Good brother, good to see you. God bless you. And for all those in the chat room and all those who will be watching that video later, thank you for being a part of our ministry. And feel free to invite others and share that video with others as we continue to do our study. I know Paul and Christy are the wonderful two producers I've ever had. So I don't know what they have for us tonight. I know as much about tonight's show as much as you know about tonight's show. Obviously, we're part three of what you need to know about Islam. And sadly, most Muslims do not know what we'll be talking about tonight about Islam. And before we even get that, I want to share, and I know that Paul and Christy have some articles that they're sharing with us. But before I forget, I want to get this out of my chest. Last week, after we did our show, I received a phone call from a brother who lived in another state here in America, in the northern country, part of America. And he told me about his son, 32 years old, who just married to a Muslim lady. And it seemed to me, and I hate to say that with all respect, I don't want to be rude, but it's fact, it's reality. Most Muslim men, or most American men and women who become Muslims, who left whatever it used to be and become Muslim, are the dumbest of the dumb. They don't have logic. They don't have common sense. They become stupid. They become brainwashed. They become empty-headed. They became arrogant. They became sensitive to learn specific things. I'm going to talk about these specific things and specific things to say. So they trained it. Now you're going to be Muslim, okay? You're going to be meeting with your son at Akpa or Lynn or Paul or Chris or somebody else. And here's how you shut them up. You're going to follow me? We're going to get to this as I go with this testimony. So, the father called me. His son is married to this young Muslim lady from Bangladesh. And his son is 52 years old. And the heart of that father is broken because he's losing his son. That son who grew up in a Christian home, have a Christian brother, a Christian family, but he became a Muslim by marrying that Muslim. He did not know that actually if he became Muslim or not, but he married a Muslim lady. And then I found later that he actually became a traditionalist Muslim, meaning he married according to Islam, he's going to do another big wedding, Islamic wedding, blah, blah, blah. So anyway, so he said, will you talk to my son? I said, absolutely, that's what we do for ministry. We talk to Muslims or people who are interested to become Muslims or people who want to learn about Islamic journal anyway. So he said, can we call you back tomorrow? He's going to be in my house tomorrow. I said, sure. Here we go. He came in, so the dad dialed the number. And he put on a speaker, brought his son, here is my son, and he mentioned his name, and here's his daughter-in-law, my daughter-in-law, he mentioned her name. So I started sharing a little bit about myself. I'm from Egypt, and he is from America. She is from Bangladesh. What do you do for work? He said that he does construction work. I said, well, that's what I did for years, construction work. And I'm going to tell you later, if you remind me, to remind me later what he is about to do in the next 6 months. He has a new job. Remind me? Can you write a note for yourself? Somebody asked me, what is his new job? What is his new job? The new job. Okay, now, it's very important. You found out that I'm going to share with you. So, and then he said, why do you want to talk to us? I said, well, here's the truth. Your dad loves you both, and he wants me to share with you about Christianity and Islam. And he's telling me, why can't you leave people alone? Notice now. What this gentleman is talking to me is exactly what every other Muslim or everybody who became a Muslim or everybody who's interested to become a Muslim will tell you. It's like, I know now the blue book, Brother Paul. I know now that, well, all religion is good. Why you have to bother people, in simple words? Leave us alone. I said, no, here's the truth. If Christianity is true, Islam is 100% false. And if Islam is true, Christianity 100% false. They can be both false, but there is zero chance that both can be true. And you know what he said? Here we go, line of the line. Why are you so hateful to Islam? Why are you so hateful to Muslims? Why do you say that? Will you just say the song of Islam? I said, my friend, let me repeat again what I said. And I hope some Muslims or somebody is interested in Islam. We listen carefully to what I'm talking about tonight, not just in this testimony, but for the rest of the show. I said, and I repeat again, if Islam is true, Christianity is 100% false. And if Islam is true, and if Christianity is true, Islam is 100% false. They both cannot be right. They both can be wrong if there's no Jesus, there's no Muhammad, there's no God, there's no Allah.
It's a very, very logical statement.
But he said, this is very hateful. I mean, I'm telling you, I know for sure how an American man married to a Muslim lady become a Muslim. He digged his brain out from his head. He became a person without any logic or common sense.
No one would have any logic whatsoever.
That's what's that.
It's like their brain becomes deaf.
Yeah. Yeah, I was doing a show with Sister Hatun the one before last, and I said, if Muslims use logic or common sense, and she stopped me, she's from a stop. What is that? There's no logic or common sense. There's like you're insulting the Muslim by you saying that. But anyway, so you can laugh.
You're right. But there is none.
There's more. But anyway, so I said, let me give you an example. I said, first of all, most Muslims do not know Islam. Most Muslim people do not know Islam, especially if they're foreigners. His wife, she's from Bangladesh. Okay? And I said, most Muslims believe that Islam is a loving and a peaceful religion. Most Muslims believe in that. If you are, whatever, I don't care if you know too much about Islam, if you're a Muslim, Islam is a loving and a peaceful religion. I said, but when you ask these Muslims to share with you one verse or one statement of the saying of Muhammad to prove that Islam is a loving or a peaceful religion, you don't have one. And I can share with you hundreds of statements and hundreds of verses from the Quran and the Hadith, where is a great evidence and a great proof that Islam is the most savage, evil cult. Now I insult them again. Well, can you share anything wrong with you about Christianity? If you think, when I say that, I said, if one of them is right, the other one is wrong. No, can you say anything negative about Christianity? And I said, there's nothing negative. Now, that's your job. Your job is to share with me something negative about Christianity, and I'll respond to it. But, I'm not saying anything negative about Islam, I just say that's what Muslims believe, but in reality it's not. And he said, and who gives you the right? Here's another statement Muslims always repeat. Who gives you the right? Who do you think you are to know Islam? I said, Islam is not what I say, or what I not say. Islam is the words of Allah in the Quran, with the interpretation of Muslim scholars, not Christian scholars, not Jewish scholars, not atheist scholars, not Muslim scholars, and the teaching of Muhammad in the Hadith, and how Muhammad lived Islam, which we call Sunnah. That is Islam. Now, I know for sure what Islam is because I know the Quran, the interpretation of the Quran by Muslim scholars, the saying of Muhammad in the Hadith, and how Muhammad lived, and add to that, how Muslims lived the last 1400 years, which is perfect fit with Islam. He said, once again, why do you insult Muslims? I haven't said a thing yet. I have not opened my mouth yet. I'm just, you ask me a question, I give you the answer. Who gave me the right? I don't have any right. I just know what Allah said. If I'm reading the Quran, would this make me insulting Allah and Muhammad? Make the long story short, I said, let me give you a good example to prove that Islam and Christianity both cannot be true. The Quran clearly said Jesus is not the Son of God. He was not crucified, and he did not die on the cross, and he never rose from the dead, which is, by the way, the foundation of Christianity. Christianity teaches Jesus is God Almighty, came in the flesh. He was crucified, and he died, and he was buried, and he rose again on the third day. Not just because the New Testament says so, but we have hundreds of prophecies which are written in the Old Testament hundreds of years before Christ came in the flesh.
Now, so proven by history and scholars.
Sure, sure.
Yes.
History speaks for itself, yeah.
Yes.
So, and when I said that, he said, why do you hate me? Why do you hate Muslims? That guy does not answer. I said, listen. If everything about Christianity is true, everything about Islam is false. If everything about Islam is true, everything about Christianity is false. They can be both wrong, but they cannot be both right. Because how? And I said, I don't hate you. I love you, and I love your beloved wife. And man, he hung up on me. I thought, maybe, I somehow lost the connection by mistake. So I dialed again, and the father said, answered the phone. I said, I'm sorry, I don't know what happened. I just lost the connection. He said, he hang up on you. Now here's my punchline for that testimony. The new job for this gentleman, after all the years of his life, as a construction man, he's about to be the next Muslim American pilot. He's going to be flying airplane in America. And I wrote an article just last week that we published on the Christian News from Wisconsin. I write an article once a month. And by the way, they're available on our website. If you would like to read my article, go to my website. I read the article. It's a good 1,300 words. It will take you maybe 10, 15 minutes to read.
Tell them the name of your website, Usama, so they can go look.
TheStraightway.org. TheStraightway.org. As you see it behind me on this blue screen. But anyway.
No, you don't
see it. And I said, if you think 9/11 was bad, 90 people are much less than 190. As a matter of fact, that's much less than 1,900. And I think the next attack in America, the final jihad, it will not be taken care of by 19 Arabs or 19 Muslims of the Muslim world. It's going to be 1,900, if not 19,000 American Muslims, where you cannot solve them. These are the pilots of every airplane, of every company. And they don't need to have bombs or guns. All they need is the seat you're sitting in on the airplane. That's exactly all what these Muslim pilots, because the stupid Americans did not learn a thing about September 11. Now they are hiring people. Muslims are still working in airports, and Muslims are working in airplanes. And after that, the Americans who love their wives, who would love to sell their life with the devil, Allah says, who would love to praise Allah and Muhammad, performing jihad, there will be plenty of American pilots, black and white, who will be taking our airplane into buildings all over this country. And when that day comes, the American people will say, we wish we have listened to that weirdo, nutcase, Islamophobe, Usama Dacto, because this could have saved the existence of the great country, the United States of America.
Not
a prophecy, it's true. Yes, it's logic. That is the logic of common sense. Anyway, with that being said, Christy, go ahead.
No, I just think it's important to realize these deceptions are spiritual. This is a spiritual war, and we're fighting against a spiritual power, which is Satan. So, you know, to get your eyes open and for people who read the Word of God and pray for God to give you wisdom, he says that he will give you wisdom. But Jesus also warns, don't let men deceive you. And that's what we're seeing. People are deceived about what Islam is, and there are powerful people in high places telling them lies, and they're believing those lies. And that is sad, and I really wish they would wake up. Yeah.
I think this is something that the church needs to know also. Most pastors in America and all over the world, they refuse to learn about apologetics. They refuse to learn about Islam. They refuse to at least understand or read the Quran or the other side. They are too confident, too arrogant about their faith that it's not going to affect their children. Guess what? It's wrong.
I agree.
We have to teach our children how to defend our faith, how to be apologetic, how to learn Islamology. We need to know the tactic of the devil.
And Lynn, you're talking about the conservative churches. Now, the liberal church is even worse, because liberal church brings these Muslim imams to their church,
the
and gives them their own people.
The liberal church destroying Christianity. I pull myself off from a liberal church that I went before. I pull it off myself and my whole family, because it's destroying my faith, it's destroying my children's faith. So I said, we got to do something about this. We have to start teaching the truth. We have to start teaching that the enemy is right in front of us. What are we going to do? Before they attack us, how are we going to defend ourselves?
Amen.
So that's what we have to do. It's not that we have to attack them, but we have to learn their strategy. What is their strategy? And how are we defend our faith? And how are we defend our Christianity? And the parents are too lazy to teach the children about the true Christ, about the true of Christianity, yeah, and the truth and of the enemy.
Yeah, you're making a good point, man. If the people in America know the truth of Christianity, you'll not be sucked into the deception of Islam.
Right.
But the problem is, you don't know so much about Christianity nor Islam, and here we go. Muslims are growing in this country among our own children who are marrying to Muslim ladies, or our own daughters who are married to Muslim men. I mean, it's amazing. Years ago, used to be a Muslim man married an American lady. Now it's backwards. That she's an American man who are bound down to Allah and Muhammad marrying Muslim ladies. God help.
Now, I have a question. How many Christians in America read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation? Back to back. And how many parents teach the children to read the Bible from Genesis and Revelation? How many pastors, even pastors, read the Bible every day from Genesis to Revelation?
Well, you're hitting on the exact problem, Lynn. That is exactly the problem. If you don't know the Word of God, if you don't have a love for the Word of God, if you don't really truly know Jesus, and I would say that fits a large percentage of those who call themselves Christians, then you're not protected. You know, the Bible tells us that we're protected from evil and that we're to pray to be delivered from evil, but people are not informed enough about the Word of God to even know what evil is. They you know, they accept everything, that niceness is the counter to evil. You know, if you want evil to go away, just be nice. That's not the truth. And we don't have a knowledge of the Word of God. We have very weak ministries that don't teach the Word of God. They don't provide that, you know, I'm sorry, going to church once a week and hearing a sermon is not mean you know the Bible. You have to read it yourself. You have to ask God to give you wisdom. So I couldn't agree with you more, Lynn. That is a real weakness in America.
Amen.
And also one thing, most people right now, even the Christians, they don't care about the truth. My experience, as I was agnostic for 13 years, I was seeking for the true God. Because the God that I served before, Allah, is dead. He never listened to me. He has no ears. He cannot speak my language. I challenged him, and he never answered my challenge, so I left Islam. I left Allah. And I swear, I challenged him. I say, if you're real, if I'm really sinned against you, Allah, you know, I'm going to see bumps on my face if I really sinned against Allah. And never happened. So I say, I decide, you not exist. You never exist. And I left. And I was seeking for the true God. I went Buddhist, I went Hindu, I went New Age, I went Confucius, I went everything. And never heard, I never heard anything about, or anybody tell me about Jesus until one day, one of my friends, a woman, I was arguing with her because she kept talking about Jesus. And I was arguing. And at the last email, she sent me email like this, Jesus love you. And it made me so mad.
Oh, my goodness.
But can you imagine, here's the true testimony of a Christian a sister from a Muslim background in the country of Indonesia, being an agnostic for 13 years. Where are the Christians who will share with her, who will reach out to her? 13 years, that's not 13 weeks or 13 months. That's a long 15 years. She could have died in this 13 years, 1,300 times. But where are the Christians? We're not doing our job. When a person is an agnostic, that means he's searching. He want to know. It's like, I am an open book. Somebody write something in my pages, and we're not interested to write anything in their pages. Can you imagine if Lynn died during these 15 years, searching for some truth, and she never got it because nobody cared about sharing with her? That's it. Brother Paul, I see Paul sitting there quietly. Say something to me, Paul. What's going on in your head? Share.
I'm the guy that's really into apologetics, and I put that out in my church, and that's I teach apologetics in my church in a quasi college type atmosphere, and I just had somebody ask me to start it up again. So I'm going to be talking to the pastor about starting that again.
Okay.
Locally, we have a Christian college, and we have a seminary that I don't have anything very nice to say about, but... we have two seminaries. One is good and one is bad. I keep forgetting. Well, the one I'm thinking of, the good one, is out of the college I studied in, and they are very strong doctrine in the faith. So it's probably the only one in maybe New York State. We'll see, but
we
don't teach the apologetics, that's problematic.
But, you know...
We have, like in this area, I know because I grew up in a church where, I mean, she's right. Churches are not telling their people to read the Bible for themselves. I grew up in a church where we thought the pastor did that for us.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I mean, that's right. I thought that was normal.
Sadly, it is normal for a lot of churches. But, Paul, I would just come back and say, you do not have to be an expert in apologetics. You don't have to. But what I'm trying to say is you do not have to have an education. But many Christians, when they first receive Christ, they are so enthused to share with someone else. And they get shut down because they're told, well, you don't know enough. You need to have them talk to the pastor. And that is why they shut down the very people who have the zeal to speak out and share the Bible and share about Jesus and their personal testimony. You know, your personal testimony about your experience is very valuable. If you read in Revelation, it says, how do they overcome the Antichrist? By the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And they loved not their life unto the death. This is something that, you know, we need to look at as Christians. That is the battle against the false teaching. And we shut people down when they're trying to share their testimony because we tell them, well, you're just a baby Christian. You don't know enough. I've heard that so many times, said to other people, and I tell them, don't listen to that. You've had a miracle happen in your life. You have the excitement to share with someone else. Don't let someone shut you down. Don't let it happen.
You are 100% correct, Christy. Guess who shut me off when I just turned to Christ? My own pastor and the pastor of other church. They say that just keep your testimony for yourself. Isn't that
the purpose of giving testimony is to share? I'm sorry.
Pastor saying that. Oh, don't tell people that you're ex-Muslim. It's too dangerous for all of us.
No.
We just all this now.
Oh.
How about
this is like the
policy.
Yeah.
People need to understand that you're talking about living in Indonesia may be different.
How about that? Here in America.
Here in America.
Oh.
I've been in America.
She got saved in the United States.
No.
21 years. And I got saved in America. In American church, the pastor is American pastor. But they said, just keep your testimony for yourself. Don't tell anyone that you're ex-Muslim because we become a target now.
Oh, Lord.
Hey,
they love not their life.
God, and then you find that place and you grow there.
And you love not your life unto the death. You know, if Jesus is not going to preserve your life, it's because he's made a determination. You know, we don't live like those who are in fear all the time. Like, I guess that's what you saw in the shirt says. We live for Jesus. That is our life. That
yes.
is our purpose of living.
Let me show my shirt. Please. Paul, Reed, what do we have here?
You got to stand up because it's blocked.
Here we go.
Let your faith be bigger than your fear.
Amen. Let your faith be bigger than your fear.
Very good.
Oh,
you
love it? Yeah, let's see. Freedom over fear.
Freedom fear. Amen.
Yes.
Well, anyway, Brother Paul, share with us one of your articles for tonight, and then we can get one
right.
You see.
So,
and then
now this topic's going to come out. anyway, I'm going to play you a memory.org piece, and I'm going to mute my mic in a second. But I think we've been dealing with O'Biden, and we've been dealing with Islam, and this is a Saudi writer who is exposing the communication between Iran and the O'Biden administration.
Woo-hoo.
All right, so let me mute my mic so I can play this.
Sure.
All right.
So we're waiting for Paul to play the video, and the video is coming up. Here it is. The video is not playing for Paul. Let's try it again.
Sorry about that. It was just ready a little while ago. Maybe I had it ready too early. The joy of doing things. All right.
Hey. We forgive you because we're so nice and we're so loving and we're very humble. Don't forget we're humble.
I think it's because I got it ready too early. All right, let's try this again.
أستاذ عبد الله، يعني لو تكلمنا شوي عن ردود فعل الغرب تحديدا، لماذا لا يزال الغرب يتعاطى مع هذا الموضوع، موضوع التطرف الإيراني فيه بازدواجية كبيرة وملحوظة؟ يعني
للأسف لهم أصدقاء بواشنطن، وبالذات الإدارات الديمقراطية ذات التوجه اليساري التي بدأت بإدارة الرئيس الأسبق باراك أوباما، واليوم مع الإدارة الحالية لديهم توجه وقناعات سياسية يسارية ليبرالية متطرفة. تعتقد الرؤية منشورة، رؤية أوباما اللي غالب الذين يستلمون المناصب اليوم في الإدارة الحالية كانوا موظفين في تلك الإدارة، مواقف أوباما وسياسة ورؤية منشورة. هو يعتقد أنه يجب أن يتصالح مع النظام الإرهابي الإيراني وأن يمنح السلطة في الدول العربية لجماعات الإرهاب السنية مثل جماعة الإخوان المسلمين والجماعات المشابهة لها من جماعات الإسلام السياسي، وبهذا يجد حلا خارقا للشرق الأوسط. رأينا أن هذه السياسات قتلت الشعوب العربية في سوريا وقتلتهم في مصر وفي ليبيا وفي تونس. بعض الدول العربية يعني انعتقت مما كان يعرف بالربيع العربي، وهو الربيع الأسود، الربيع الدامي، الربيع القاتل، الذي كانت الإدارة الأمريكية تخطط من خلاله أن تنشر أنظمة شبيهة للنظام الإيراني في الدول العربية.
Wow.
Good point. So in simple words, what this gentleman is saying is O'Biden is a continuation of Obama. That's why we call him O'Biden. We mix them together. And they hate America, number one, for the fact that they hate our constitution. They hate they love Iran. They love the Shiite Muslim jihadi. And Obama gave them $152 billion. I don't think that Trump will give any less than that if he had the opportunity. And he will give them the nuclear bombs so they can use it to wipe out Israel and wipe out the Sunni Muslims, Saudi Arabia and other countries, and they will be the Muslim leader.
It is believed that they already have the nuke. So the question is
when.
And at this point, when were they entertained the use of it?
But can you imagine? You're hearing that from a Muslim Saudi, and stupid Americans, they don't get it yet. Some stupid Americans, they think Obama did a great job, and Biden will do even more for the job, because they're stupid.
And what I thought is especially important that our stupid government and many others may miss, but this gentleman points out the dangers of the Muslim Brotherhood group that the O'Biden administration, the current O'Biden administration, is pushing. And these are the idiots, the dangerous people who have heavily influenced our colleges. They have heavily influenced our society and our government and our public education system. And from somebody who worked for the public education system, I can testify that it's gone through the colleges. I can testify it. I mean, this is what my second book was all about, is how dangerous this group is and what their purpose is to destroy us from within. And
yes,
people don't understand that.
Good. Good review. I love what you shared with us another call tonight, and I want to hear something from Chris. Go ahead.
Well, it's a shame that we've seen this, but you realize that we have a severe conflict now between those in Iran and those who are Sunnis, that they're threatened by the fact that we were denying, they were providing protection to Saudi Arabia under Trump, and now that's being withheld, and they're promoting Iran again. I agree. John Kerry's son-in-law, an Iranian, Valerie Jarrett, an Iranian, or her parent, father, an Iranian. We have a lot of people who are influenced by Iran who were in the Obama administration. I'm glad he pointed out they're still there. They're still there, whether they're officially there or behind the scenes. Trust me, if Barack Hussein Obama is anywhere in D.C., they are influencing the Biden administration.
Sure.
All
did
of them.
Obama himself left Washington, D.C. yet?
No. Oh, yeah. He stayed there.
Why he stayed there?
This is a new thing. It hasn't been done in
at least
a century.
But imagine with me, guys, 46 presidents in this country, and each and every one from the past, when he finishes his term, he leaves. He stays there to have a message. And the message is, I will destroy the rest of this country. And sadly, those who love him, those liberal Democrats who are literally demon-possessed or some evil, we all know what Trump was ahead, we cannot say anything. I mean, literally, look how this country is destroyed in the last 19 months, and it's still, his number is in the 50s. That is every liberal in America. That's every Democrat in America thinks that Obama is doing a great job. Keep clapping hands for him until your home is burned to the ground. Maybe you can figure out, wait a minute, I need some water. Instead of keep grabbing, need some water to stop the fire from taking down my house down. No. They're evil. They're evil. And believe it or not, Muslims, let me put this right, Sunni hate Shiite, Shiite hate Sunni. It's been 1,400 years that more Sunni killed by Shiite and Shiite killed by Sunni than any infidel will ever even kill any Muslim. Okay?
Yeah.
It is a gushing river of blood. Welcome to the reality of the history of Islam. Okay. So there's nothing new there. So it doesn't matter really. If Sunni will not kill the Jews, the Saudi will kill the Jews. Okay. The Shia will kill the Jews. One of them, or they kill each other to kill the Jew. It's unbelievable. Of course, if you kill the Jew, the small devil, you hate America, and you kill the Americans, the great thing. So it's a very worse thing. Anyway, you want to say something? Christine, you're going to say something?
No, I was just going to say, the sad thing is that we have so much going on behind the scenes. I'm not sure that you even have 30% of the Democrats supporting this stuff. I believe.
I would say we don't today. I think you're 100% right, Christy.
Yeah, but the fact is they gained control and they're not letting it go. I mean, Obama's the perfect example. He's not letting it go, and neither are any of our other people who I believe are illegitimately in power today. I hope people will watch Frank's speech and Lindell TV as they're investigating all of the fraud that's gone on with elections, not just since Obama, but going all the way back into the Bush administrations. There has been a lot of problems, and Americans are waking up to that. But I would tell you who is spearheading these investigations are the Christians, the real believers, who are prepared to stand up because of their faith in God. That is what is motivating them. That's what's motivating Mike Lindell to stand up for the truth and not be afraid to be called names. You're scared to be called a name. Don't be a Christian, my friend, because Jesus said the whole world will hate you for my name's sake. So if you don't want to be called names and you don't want to have someone dislike you, don't be a Christian. No, you're wasting your time. If you truly love the Lord, they'll hate you.
If you want to spend the life out of everybody else, become a Muslim.
You know, or if you just want to be nice, be a Baha'i person or a Buddhist or something. Lynn can tell you about that. You know, just about being nice.
I met a lot of Christian, even pastors, to vote for Biden.
Yep.
My own cousin, she claimed to be Christian. She voted for Biden, and she agreed with what Biden says. And then my friends, which are pastors, same. They have a picture of Obama hanging on the wall, and they're so proud of him. Now they have Biden. But when the gas price spiking up, guess who they blame?
Trump.
Well,
we know.
The attack on Trump in Mar-a-Lago in New York State, the rising in gas prices and the rise in the cost of food has having the opposite effect of what those two things coordinated in a timely manner have turned a lot of Democrats, at least the ones I've met here.
Yeah.
In
New York.
If they're screaming and yelling, we want Trump back, which I find.
I hope and I pray that you're right, Paul. But you know, it is the truth also. That while they're hanging the picture of Obama and Biden, they don't have the American flag in their home.
No, they don't.
Not outside of the hall, not on the edge of the door, not inside the house. They are un American. If you love Obama that bad, and you love Biden that bad, for sure you hate America twice as bad. Sure.
Well, this is where we see that the destruction of the United States of America.
I call them naive Christians. I also call them stupid Christians. I also call them, these are the names I made up for.
Well, you have to realize we call a lot of people Christians that are not Christians, and I'm sorry, they're really not Christians. And it's sad because they need to be saved. But you know that if someone does not love Jesus and does not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, they're not saved. I'm sorry.
These people love Jesus. These people love Christ. But they are so naive.
Oh, that could be, yes. That could be.
Some do.
Oh, yeah.
I know some Christian who does not love, but
they love the Lord.
But if they love the Lord and the Spirit of God is in them, there's something for the spirit of discernment.
Right.
You can figure out something wrong with your heart. You cannot be a Christian, naive Christian, and know that the Democrats are so much into killing babies.
That's it. There are things that should open the eyes.
Yeah.
The murdering of babies.
Maybe years ago, but not now. You cannot be a Democrat today and call yourself a believer. I'm sorry, you have to be a really, really...
But there are people that are turning away from that, and they're finding their church, even, in some cases, is rejecting them and saying, well, you're being hateful because you're saying someone who had an abortion is an evil person.
Yeah.
We're talking about what is sin. And when you talk about abortion, every person who's had an abortion, it's a sin. But there are a lot of people that have sinned. This is not the focus. The focus is to love God and to repent and to see the lives of unborn babies saved, you know? Yeah, one of our friends says, you'll know them by their fruits.
I will not call them evil. I will call them a murder.
Yeah,
yes.
A murder is evil. Anyway, so what is that?
Tammy Goodman wrote, you will know them by their fruits, a true believer and a follower of Christ, of Jesus.
Yes, indeed.
That's it.
Thank you, Tammy. Appreciate you for that. And I want to change the topic to something else before I forget, because I don't have anything written in my head. But I am so upset about paying my bill for my school. And I believe Mr. Biden did the rich, comfortable doctors and lawyers and engineers, those who make $120,000 a year. He gives them, what, 10 grand or 20 grand, whatever he's giving them. Wait a minute. I need somebody to give me 10, 20 grand because I paid for all my school and I paid it off on time. So why is it? Why is, I think that was an evil act, unconstitutional. It is buying people votes. But guess what? It's going to fire back so badly. But so long I talked to so many people who said that's not right. I'm talking about Democrats who may have voted for the Democrat Party, but they're not.
It's actually an impeachment. It's likely he's going to be impeached over this because he doesn't have the authority to do it.
He broke the law. He's becoming dictator.
This is actually a high crime. Because it is a violation of his constitutional authority.
Hopefully,
so,
after November, we can get rid of him by then.
I think it's possible they may start the impeachment proceedings early.
If they do, and we end up with Kamala Harris, I'm not sure we're going to be better off.
We will have her for a couple of weeks that she'll be impeached too.
She's already committed impeachable offenses, so she could be quickly
removed. She's a lunatic.
Then we're going to get Nancy Pelosi. Lord help us.
You're kinder than my words.
The head of the Republican Party, what's his name?
Jordan?
Pelosi would be next, and that's
She is not going to be there after we take over the House.
We're talking about, he's saying they might start it now while Biden's still in office.
It doesn't matter if they start it now. They can't finish the procedure until after November, even if they start
but
it now.
It's gotta,
that's what I'm looking at. That's why I think it's humorous.
All right. Sounds good. This is just my...
I wanted to share a couple of really quick things. One of the things is that we are seeing, even though it isn't in the mainstream media, we're seeing an increase again, or at least stories are getting out about Muslims and the persecution against Christians spreading in many countries now to a level it hasn't been reported or hasn't been known. You would never see any of that on the mainstream media. But Christians being beheaded in Mozambique, there is a report that a Sharia court in Nigeria has upheld, the regular high court in Nigeria, Kano State, upheld a death sentence given by a Sharia court to a man accused of blasphemy. I'm assuming that this was a Muslim man, and the high court upheld the Sharia court's ruling that he should be sentenced to death. So we're seeing this growing in so many places. And I appreciate, Lynn, I appreciate the ministry that is trying to wake people up to these things that are going on. Recently, I saw a report that they have now admitted that thousands of Americans have been left in Afghanistan. Many of them have suffered under the Taliban rule, and we have no idea how many people may have been killed, executed, or tortured.
Sean Hannity was talking about that, and he's counting the days when we have left them behind, and I don't know anybody else, really.
Well, I have to tell you, you aren't hearing about this under the administration. They were claiming everybody who wanted to leave could leave. Now they're coming out again and saying, well, if Americans want to get out of there, then we'll help them. They haven't said that in months. In months, they have not talked about this. They've covered it up and said the only people, American citizens that were left in Afghanistan, were there because they wanted to be. That was a total lie. Now the lie is being uncovered.
They left their soldiers there. They changed their title from active duty to contractors without their permission.
Yeah.
Active duty to contractors.
There's so much corruption. There's so much foolishness and stupidity. God help us. What are we doing to our military and our people, especially those who really put their life on the front line for us? For us.
Yeah, and we need to keep praying that these things, And Lynn, you know, you can't make someone do something or care. But if they don't know, I understand this. If they don't know, then they can't even pray appropriately for God to intervene. We need to get stories out there and keep telling the truth so that the people who do love the Lord can pray and intervene if given the opportunity to put these stories out there. There's so many things going on around the world. Young children of a late deacon. Okay, we talked about this a few weeks ago, that there was in Sudan, and I knew some children who escaped from Sudan. It's the first time I ever understood what Islam was. This was decades ago. And these little boys escaped from Sudan, and they came to the United States. And we had like seven of them here in Mississippi. And I was working with some of these children in a social services program. And I asked one of them, what happened? Why were your parents killed? Because they would talk about how they were in the United States because their parents were killed. And I just asked them, I said, why were your parents killed? And they looked at me like I was stupid. Maybe I just was ignorant. And they said, because they were Christians. So that was my first recognition that Christians were being killed in Sudan. It wasn't a civil war. It was Christians being killed by Muslims in Sudan. And I hadn't known that before. So I'm just saying this young children now, three young children of this Catholic deacon who was already killed, they now killed these three young children, his kids. So these are things that are going on. 17 Christians, you know, murdered.
Have you heard Christian news about the burning of four churches in Egypt? And one of them, there were actually 41 people burned.
Mm-hmm.
And 15 of them are 3 years little children. 14 or 15 of them.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, I have the video. I was going to play it a minute ago. So just watch a little bit if you can.
Okay. And in the Congo now. Are you playing the video you saw? My, oh, there it is. It's terrible.
This is the church in Mbeba, Cairo. 41 people were burned, including the priest who was doing the mass as a church. 14, I believe, or 15 children, 3, 4 years old. I mean, unbelievable. And the funny thing is, they will not even go to stop the burning. And then he gets the good report, like all the reports you get from the dumb Democrats. Oh, it was electricity. Some shortage of electricity. It's not a Muslim burning. And the other, almost amazing, four churches in Egypt, one after one. And they're all electricity, shortage of some particular electricity. Maybe we should close the list of the churches because somehow they're going to be burned by electricity.
Now, this is why I'm saying we need to get those stories out there so that people understand what is happening around the world. Because
but don't worry, Americans.
This
Muslims
is
our, will not burn the church in America. They only burn church in Egypt.
Okay, but Islam is, that's not the point for someone who loves the Lord. We care about our family.
We talked about Black Lives Matter 2 years ago when it was in the top of the line of talk. And in reality, we have Christian sisters being raped. They're black Christian sisters who've been raped by the Muslims all over Africa after their husbands been beheaded and been killed. And not one liberal Democrat care about the Black Lives Matter of the Christian ladies who are raped by Muslims after their husbands been killed by the hand of the Muslims. Which countries? Somalia? Al-Shabaab doing a great job there. And by the way, we're bringing these Muslim Somali who are killing the Christian men and raping the Christian women to America. Okay? And maybe they go to Nigeria. Ah, Boko Haram, you know, another jihad organization. And so is every other Muslim. I can name every Muslim implanter who are doing the jihad of Allah. And at the same time, we're not bringing the Christians of this country as refugees of America. No, no, we're bringing the Muslims who are killing the Christian men and raping the women.
You remember? Remember
the topic I was just going to bring up, that one of the articles I had ready for you is Mozambique's jihad rebels have launched a new offensive, and they now have displaced 80,000 people.
Yeah.
You know, is this another justification that, oh, Biden's going to have to bring people here? These are not just Christians, and as Obama, as Osama just said, you know, they're the people who have the most to fear from Islam are the followers of Islam and the Christians as well. But this is just dangerous. I mean, we need to recognize that.
And again, because these stories are not getting out in the mainstream media, but you can find this information with reliable sources. I always tell people, go to Worthy Christian News. It's articles from all over the world, and this is a publication that verifies their information, and they are Christians. They operate out of Israel, so they can get past the American media.
Once again, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Let me take a break here, if you guys don't mind, and we'll come back. We'll move on with our videos to cover the rest of the material, which we began two programs ago. That's our third program, Islam, What You Need to Know. Islam, What You Need to Know. But let's take a quick break. We'll be back in just a minute.
For the last 1,400 years, Muslims worldwide have considered only one book to be the perfect, complete, and inspired word of Allah, the Quran. In fact, Muhammad claimed that his only miracle was the Quran itself. But is it a clear miracle of God, or is it just a confusing deception of man?
Over and over, Allah states through his prophet in the Quran that the Quran is a clear book, a very clear revelation, easy to understand. But is this true? Can a Muslim or any reader who reads the Quran understand the truth about such as the creation, the life of the prophet, or even the life of Jesus?
Scattered throughout the Quran, Muhammad records bits and pieces of information about famous biblical characters such as Adam, Abraham, Moses, David, Jonah, and even Noah. But this information is disconnected and fragmentary, contradicting the Bible and even contradicting itself.
10 years ago, the Lord put on my heart to write a book about exposing the lies and the errors of the Quran. But then we have faced another problem. All current English translations are corrupted. The English translators who translated the Quran to the English language hide many of the errors and the mistakes of the Quran from the English world. Then we spend several years to produce an accurate modern English translation of the Quran. And with that completed, we then begin production and have now finished our latest project, exposing the truth about the Quran.
In this powerful new two-volume set, you will discover one of the most thorough and comprehensive critiques of the Quran available in print. First, all of the references to important topics such as creation and the stories of the prophets scattered throughout the Quran are collected together into one place. Next, we examine the writings of the most respected Muslim scholars as they seek to understand these confusing and contradictory passages. Then, we demonstrate that Muslim scholars were forced to abandon the Quran and that they had to turn to the Bible for the true and authentic histories of these events in their futile attempt to reconcile the two. Finally, this comprehensive two-volume set proves that Muhammad contradicted the Bible and that the Quran repeatedly contradicts itself as it discusses these important issues.
It's time for the West to know the truth about Islam, to know the truth about its so-called Prophet Muhammad. The Bible clearly teaches, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. We must know and expose the darkness, the dangers, and the deception of Islam, not only to protect ourselves, but to bring the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ to all the Muslims whom we love.
For ordering and more information, please visit thestraightway.org. Individual copy and case pricing is available.
Welcome back. We're glad to have you with us in this beautiful Saturday, 8:27. This is the last program we have in the month of August. This month, we are coming to September. And then October and November is just across the street where we see, hopefully, Americans waking up to do what is right, to stop the bleeding of America. We are literally in a huge hemorrhage. I mean, literally, keep America the same way it's going right now, we're not going to have a few months left, multi-years, months. So I hope and pray that this will turn around. And Paul, I know you have some business for us to talk about, to learn about Islam. We need to learn about Islam. So share with us what's going on here.
All right. So this is from the Dawah team, Why Islam? And I'm just going to mute myself before I get this started.
Yep. Who is God? Is God and Allah the same? That's a funny thing to her. Go ahead, sister.
Is God and Allah the same thing? I guess. I'm not really sure. God is like someone that I pray to and like I could go to and like I feel like I don't have anyone to go to, and he's like my savior, and I don't know who Allah is. So,
like about what you said about God, yeah, but Allah is like the I'm not sure. Like he's a God somewhere else. Allah is the same as God.
What makes you say that?
Because there's one God.
Amen. Amen. I know for sure that Allah is God because there is one God. Says who? Says who?
Paul.
There's only one God.
Okay.
Yeah, there's only one God. You mean the devil cannot be God? You mean, wait a minute. You know when you open your Bible, ladies and gentlemen, you found that plenty of God. And that's not a book written by somebody's opinion. That is the word of God. The Jehovah, the Yahweh, the God of Israel, the God of the Christian said, and talked about many other gods. So if there's one God, you mean the devil is the same God as the God? The Bible says the God of this world. Listen, the God of this world. That's a God. Satan is God? It must be. It must be, Paul. What do you think, Paul?
Well,
God, yeah.
He is
God.
Satan is
just what?
Small g.
Yeah, yeah. Small g God is not equal to God, the God of the mind. It's amazing, Paul. Go ahead, man. I can't hear you, Paul.
I thought about a lot about what you said about the way they're doing this. And they're actually using they're doing like it's a social experiment. That I think needs to be looked at. If you say a couple words or you show a picture and you expect a response. My question is how did they then respond to the other things they would say? And you notice that's not film. That I think would have been important. If you were doing this for Dawah, rather than making it a social experiment, you should have recorded your responses to people for what they said. And I think that's problematic. If all they wanted was responses, they didn't do any Dawah,
yeah,
which is interesting.
But when I see the answer of these people, and Chris, correct me if I'm wrong, the people whom they're interviewing, they don't know.
Like I said, they weren't my students, that's for sure. One of them will reveal that she's not from this country, which I think is also interesting.
Well, if these people, if I'm my daughter, but if Allah and God is the same, she will answer right away as an apology because she already learned from her mama how to be an apology.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's only one God, the Creator. I love it. Sometimes Muslims always say that, and I heard it many times. Christians just say, well, there's only one creator, and that's who we keep calling him, Allah, you call him God. It doesn't make any difference. Wait a minute. The one creator in the Bible, his name is Jesus Christ. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is Allah? End of story. End of the story. Go ahead, Christy. What do you have in mind?
Well, I was just watching and listening to Paul. I've been talking a lot. So. No, I mean, I understand what Paul's saying. They're not giving any responses, but we're not seeing what they said. I think this is like showing ignorance, and perhaps the Dawah part of it is that they're going to show this to other Muslims and say, see how easy it is? These Americans know nothing. You can share with them.
That's the point of the video, is to show other Muslims. You got stupid Americans here. Let's take advantage of them. They're too stupid to have the knowledge they need to defend them, to defend what they what the faith is. They don't know who. You're going to get into it. This gets worse. So,
yeah. But if those who live in this country, the free country, what used to be a Christian country, and they have knowledge about religion stuff, if they don't know who is God, what else do you know about spiritual matters? Do they know anything else?
Not much.
No, when I hear this kid answer, you know, Sam, I know their parents. Their parents never teach anything about the true Christianity. They will just left it by themselves with the nanny, with the babysitter, with daycare. Now, this is the issue in the youth right now. Our youth don't know anything about who God is.
Well,
because Chrissy, that will not fit the agenda of the liberals. They're trying to take over the schools to make this country immoral. So if you're going to teach them a little bit about God, they're going to reject everything else you teach. I don't care what else you teach. If it's evolution, if it's the LBGTMCODYX, whatever you flip up, I mean, how in the world are you going to convince them to do surgery and to remove their internal sexual part to make it a man or a woman?
Well,
you're not going to be able to do that. You're not going to be able to destroy this country if you know a little bit about the truth of God.
Well, that's why I think we're dealing with different cases here. I know that there are many Christian families whose children have gone off to school and they've gone way off the deep end, but they're being challenged by their peers. They're being challenged by educators, people who tell them they know better. And I'm sorry, the literal teaching in the school systems is your parents don't know anything. We are going to make you smart. We're going to educate you because your parents are of a generation that is stupid.
Whatever we teach you, don't go share with your parents.
Yes.
You don't want your mom and dad.
They're trying to block the parents out. So, I mean, I know this has happened. I know it's happened to a lot of young people.
And what is amazing is the changing in the education system. You used to open your children's books and learn about what they're learning.
Yeah.
But surprise, they got this new agenda. We're going to just brainwash your children. We're going to make them whatever we want, and you will never know anything about it.
Well, Common Core.
Common Core, yeah.
This is the changing education. The reason why you never see your children bring back home the book, because this is the new system.
That's
all
it.
The books in the school are not allowed to take home. What belongs to school, stay in the school. You just go home. So the parents will never be able to see what they teach. What are they learning? Because they never take home any books from school.
Yeah, they have. And they did this even with mathematics when they started the Common Core teaching of mathematics. So the kids are trying to study, and the parents are looking at this and going, I don't understand this. So, of course, the school can tell them their parents are stupid and don't understand. I mean, I was blessed. My mom, we had five different sets, different encyclopedias in our house. I used to tell my teacher when they said something, and I said, I got written up by this more than once. And they said, well, we're teaching this in school. And Christy said, well, I don't know if that's true. And they told my mother, I would say, I'm going to go ask my mother about this. I don't know if that's true. And my mom would go get the books out and open up the encyclopedias and say, let's look and make sure. So I learned to trust my parents more than what my teacher said.
But
and that doesn't happen anymore. This is sad.
Parents do not have time to check on the children, and parents do not know so much to help the children, and children are just taken to the school to the swamp.
Well, Chris, you had an advantage.
I know.
And what scares me the most is what kids do today rather than look at an encyclopedia or anything else.
They go online.
Let's Google it.
They go online.
They look in Google. And because it's posted someplace, somebody believes it. It doesn't mean it's accurate. They don't understand what reliable sources are. And that's where it gets scary.
Yes.
So while I'm saying that, I want to share a statement that's been made here, and I want to ask a question. So Super Picky, I think I said that right, he's talking about the translators, the priests, and the government are saying God is the same as Allah.
Yes,
my understanding is the word God in Arabic is not necessarily Allah. Is that correct?
Let me share with you what we teach our children about the school. Give me a minute. And we'll look here, God and Allah. And I tell you exactly, this is in our lies in the textbooks study. Lies about Muhammad, lies about, let me see here. Sorry, I do not have it written because I did not thought we're going to get to it. But lies about Jesus. Nope, that's not it. So it has to be.
Osama and I have been in... We're trying to get one other to help out, but we've been working on putting something together. Hopefully we can get it into Christian schools to begin with, where
but
you tell the truth about Islam.
Usama,
we'll see.
I thought that Paul's question was, is the word Allah in Arabic translated as God?
It is, but it is not the name, and Allah is not the name of God in Arabic. Why? Because Allah in the Arabic language have 99 names. If I say Allah al-Rahim, Allah al-Kareem, Allah al-Jabbar, Allah al-Mutakabbir, Allah, the 99 names of Allah all over the Quran is the names of Allah. But the word Allah is like a mister, like a title, Mr., Sir, Doctor. So you cannot tell me that Allah is the name of God in the Arabic language. That is the word God in Arabic language. And since we have
like we already
many
said,
gods,
many gods.
Yeah, many gods. So in the Kaaba, there are 360 Allah. Which one do you like? You see? So let me, I'll try to get you out of my PowerPoint presentation here. Let's look for the word Allah.
By the way, just while we're waiting for him to find that, when we worked on lies in the textbooks and put it together, guess where we got our information? Encyclopedia Britannica.
Yeah.
That was one of the sources, yeah.
It is unbelievable. Okay.
That was our study on the Crusades.
Okay. We're going to find it here. Lord is willing. I'm looking. Okay. Here we go. Here's one. So let me share this one with you. And we're going to go here. Make it. That is from our textbooks, ladies and gentlemen. That is from our textbook. So we're not making that up. So let me share screen. Hit the square and go to Windows and share. Here's what our children are learning in our public school. Ready? Here we go.
Muslims believe that Allah is the same God as the God of the Jews and Christians. Muslims also believe in the final day of judgment. On this day, it is believed the wicked will be punished with suffering and the faithful will be rewarded with eternal life in heaven.
Notice, this is on page 571. It's taught to our children in our public school from the book World Culture, A Global Mosaic, Princeton, Peters Hall, 2004. This has been taught in America literally for the last 18 years. Just after September 11th. And what our children are learning by our tax money, by the wonderful good Muslims believe that Allah is the same God. I'm sorry, There's not one Muslim believes that Allah is a Father, Son, Holy Spirit. We don't. I could not find one Muslim truly believe that Christians and Muslims worship the same God.
And just so people understand, it's not unusual for a textbook in social studies to last 20 years.
Sure.
Oh, yeah. Especially because history and social studies, things are, you know, they're historic, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So here's our response, Mr. Christie. The sound is going to be low. Paul, if you can leave, it'll be up.
And Jews and Christians do not believe that Allah is God. They actually believe that Allah of the Quran is Satan.
So hello? How can you tell me Muslims believe worship the same God and Allah is God when in reality we know that Allah is Satan? Here we go.
Yeah, he said he's the chief of all deceivers. He said it himself, so how can we not know that? Verse 1 in the Quran indicates that Muslims worship the God of this world, who is Satan. It says praise be to Allah, the Rabb,
the Lord of the world.
Yeah.
Go to 2 Corinthians 4:4, and what do we have in 2 Corinthians 4:4? But
whose mind the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them.
Notice here, we have God and God in the same verse. One is small g, as Sister Lynn said, another one is a big g. So if the God of the Bible tells me that there's another God that's called the God of this world, that means we have one God, we got two here.
It's a little bitty, bitty, bitty God and the humongous loving God.
Yes. Now let's learn about Allah, the God of Muhammad. He is known to be the best deceiver. What do we learn now? Quran chapter 3 verse 54 and Quran chapter 8 verse 30. And they deceive and Allah deceive and Allah is the best deceiver. I don't know if any Christian believes that the God of the Bible is the best deceiver. Do you?
No.
Do you think Allah, the God of the Christian in the godly Bible, in the Holy Bible, is called the God who is the best deceiver?
Absolutely not. He's the way, the truth, and the life.
Even just a little here.
When I was a Muslim.
Here we go. Watch this. James 1:13. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. Capital G-O-D. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. So if Allah is the best deceiver, and what's so amazing, when you study the verses of the Quran to learn about the doctrine of the deception of Allah, it will blow your mind. He actually makes people sin so he can send them to hell. What kind of God is this who will make me sin to send me? Oh, just not me. He will make the leaders of my country sin so he can punish the whole country and send them to hell. Not only is he a just God, you know what? He sinned. Allah sent to him and he sinned. So how about when Allah made my brethren sin, so he punished me by my brethren sin? And I love it how Muslims will tell you all over. That's by the way, the order of Allah, the Quran. No one tell you the sin of any other person. But every person will pay for his own sin. Nobody will pay for the sin of others. You know why they say that? Because the deception of Allah, the devil, Satan himself, want to tell you that Jesus could not pay for your sin. There's no such a thing as Jesus the Savior, because even if he is on the cross, he has to pay for his own sin, but he cannot pay for somebody else's sin. But in the same time, when we study the Quran carefully, he found that when the influence, the people with great influence in a community or in a country sin, Allah punished the people by the sin. And how did these people sin? When Allah made the sin. So what Allah said is this, is very simple. If we desire to destroy a country, we cause the leaders of this country sin, so we can destroy the country by the sin of the leaders. Allah, Allah. Don't you like that? Mashallah. So since God does not tempt, then God cannot be Allah, because Allah is a wicked, evil Satan who tempts people, who causes them to sin, so he can punish them and send them to hell. Yes, indeed. Send them to hell. What do we have here, Paul?
Okay, so let me pull this next one up. This is the second, these are the adults answering the question that we went from the 20 something idiots to now we're going to the adults.
Yeah.
God is one person who created the earth. Okay. And that name I don't even recognize.
No, Allah in general means God, or all universal God, you want to say. Different teachings, different theologies based on that. For me, God is Jesus.
Amen. I like what you said. I like what you said. For him, God is Jesus. Yes, sir. God
universe, like that. So yeah, to me, God, Allah, that's all the same. That's all just the energy out in the universe and whatever you believe, science, whatever it is, you know, that oneness. And so, I'm not sure what it is, but I think it's all the same thing.
You know what, Paul? Read the picture here for me. Okay, it's too late now. Can you read what we have in the last piece, the writing we have there? Yes, sir. Stop it there. Allah is simply the Arabic name for God. That is a lie from the bottom of hell. Allah is simply the Arabic word for God, not the name for God. Because if I say Rahman, if I say Ghafoor, if I say Rahim, these are the names of Allah in the Quran. So you cannot tell me Allah is the name for God. Allah is the word God. It's a title, like doctor, like president, like teacher. It could fit anybody. We cannot say president. Oh, are you talking about Biden or are you talking about Trump? Because they're both presidents. Teacher, which one? Doctor, which doctor? If you go to the hospital, oh, I talk to the doctor. Which doctor? If you go to a big hospital, there are good 40, 50 to 500 doctors in the same hospital. So it's a title. Our singular God with no partners or equals. Thank you so much. That is Allah, the God of Muhammad, as Muslims claim. Because my God is a triune God. And I am thankful, Paul. I am so thankful that they put the garbage there. Singular. And by the way, if I would talk about that for a good couple of hours, I would destroy the faith of every Muslim in his Allah or her Allah. Why? Because I'm going to prove to you it's not. But that's what they say. That's what they say. No partners. See, Muhammad, Allah, the God of Muhammad, did not know what Christian believed. Amen. That shows you how smart Allah is. Allah, the God of Muhammad, did not have a clue what Christian believed. Go to the Quran. You see that Allah was stupidly thinking that Christian worship Jesus, Virgin Mary, and Allah. Now, show me where in the Bible we learn about Jesus and the Virgin Mary, and Allah is the Trinity of Christianity. We don't believe in that. No Catholic, no Baptist, no Presbyterian, no Lutheran, no even the cults within Christianity. No, there's not one cult in Christianity believes that Christian worship and believe that the Virgin Mary is God, and we don't believe in the Holy Spirit. So, there's no equal to him. The Father is equal to the Son, is equal to the Holy Spirit. And they are one God. The Father is 100% God. The Son is 100% God. The Holy Spirit is 100% God. And let me show you, as I said earlier, I'm going to prove to you right now. If a Muslim will come right now and ask me a simple question, is the word of Allah eternal or created thing? Very simple question. When you read about Allah's word, the word of Allah, the word of Allah, Allah in the Quran, the word of Allah. Did Allah create the word of Allah or the word of Allah is eternal? Every Muslim believes the word of Allah is eternal. That's good. Is the spirit of Allah is eternal or created thing? Did Allah create something? It's called the Holy Spirit? No. So the spirit of Allah is eternal. No beginning, no end. The word of Allah is eternal. No beginning. And by the way, we Christians don't kill people for saying the word of God is not eternal, okay? Muslims kill others for disbelieving that the Quran is not eternal. They actually believe the Quran, the word of Allah, is eternal. A book, dumb for dummers. Mr. Again, the Quran is a dumb for dumbest and it is eternal. Hello? Have you read it? Maybe this. Give yourself an hour and read a couple chapters in the Quran. Trust me. You will disbelieve in Islam. But that's okay. So the word of Allah in the Quran is eternal. And the spirit of Allah is eternal. That means the word of Allah is God. And the spirit of Allah is God. And go to Quran chapter 4 and verse 171. Let my Quran say this so much. 4171. You got the Paul?
Yeah, 171. Yeah, I got it.
Go ahead, read it. What did Allah say in the Quran? And by the way, even in that verse, even Allah is telling the truth about Isa. But at the same time, he contradicts himself in the same verse. Go ahead.
O people of the book, do not exaggerate in your religion, and do not speak against Allah except the truth. Surely the Christ, Isa, son of Mary, is only a messenger of Allah and his word, which he cast to Mary and the spirit from him.
Thank you. Stop your phone.
Yeah.
Who is Isa, son of Mary? He is the word of Allah, which Allah cast to Mary and a spirit from Allah. The word of Allah and the spirit of Allah is eternal. Thank you so much, Mr. Muhammad. Now you are telling me my Isa, my Jesus, is God. But forget about that. Let's go to another something else. The next, the rest of the verse.
Oh,
what the rest of the verse says?
Just a second. I didn't know you
closed the book.
171, right?
Yes, 4171.
And a spirit from him. So believe, okay, which he cast to Mary and a spirit from him.
Mm-hmm.
So believe in Allah and his messengers and do not stay free.
Thank you. Don't stay free because Muhammad got it wrong. What tree? Do you know what tree Muhammad is rejecting? Muhammad rejected the tree. Go to Quran chapter 5, verse 116. Quran chapter 5, verse 116. Let me show you that Allah was stupid. Allah is literally stupid. He does not know what Christian believes.
And when Allah said, O Isa, son of Mary, did you say to the people, take me and my mother as two gods other than Allah?
Can you imagine that? Don't close the chapter yet. But I want you to read a little bit more. Just mention. Put your finger on the page.
Yeah, I got it.
Allah is asking Isa the most stupid question. And I'm going to prove to you that it's a stupid question by reading the rest of the words of Allah in the Quran. Did you tell the people to take you and your mother as God beside me? So how many gods do we have now? Three gods. Who are they? God the Son, God the Mother, and God the Father. What did Isa say? I'm sorry, Allah. I made a mistake, Allah. Forgive me, Allah. It was a simple sin. And I'll make sure that I will not say it again to anybody. No, read what Isa said then.
He said, praise be to you. It's not for me that I would say what is not true.
That means, Isa, son of Allah, I did not say what you said. I said, you're a garbage liar. Keep going.
If I had said it, so indeed you know it.
You know that I did not say it, and you blame me for something I did not do. How dare are you, Allah, to say that to people to worship me and my mother as God beside you? As a matter of fact, the word here, min dunillah, without you. Allah is upset. That is in my accurate translation, which we're working on right now. It's going to be available, Arabic, English, side by side, just pray. We're going to get it done soon here, sometime this year, if not early for next year. Without you, min dunillah. So Allah is jealous because Isa tells the people to worship him and his mother without Allah. Allah want to be part of it. You want to be number three. Not two, but three. So Isa, it's okay for people to worship you. It's okay for people to worship you and your mother, but don't put me out of the game, man. Can they worship three of us? Me and you and your mama? Oh, mama? Okay, so what happened after that?
All right.
Read the rest of the verse.
He said, you would know what is in my soul, and I do not know what is in your soul, surely.
Excuse me. Allah has a soul? So Allah have a soul? Allah have a spirit? Allah has eyes because he sees that one of his name, Al-Basir. He sees one of the names of Al-Basir. Allah have a butt because he sits on a throne. Allah have a shin. Allah have a leg. Allah have hands. And by the way, both of Allah's hands are right hands, like this. Both of them hands, you can shake like that or shake like that. Look at this. They're both one right hand. And Allah had ears because he was Samia, the one who hears. If you believe in the garbage we're reading here, that one singular God, capital G-O-D, I'm sorry, now you lost your Islam. His Allah, his Muhammad, his good, the Quran, goodbye, because I just showed you from your own Quran. Allah has word, which is eternal. Allah has spirit, which is eternal. Allah has soul. Now, where is that thing on Allah? Can somebody come to the show right now and explain to me that one singular Allah? Even when the Quran says, Qul Allahu Ahad, say Allah is one. One was, no. Don't forget the O-S.
One of.
One of. I mean, there's more than one than Allah. One of what? He did not say, Qul Allahu Ahad, one, but Ahad. One of. Right.
In Hebrew, it's Elohim. And if you go to Deuteronomy 6:4, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. The word for one is Ahad. God is united one.
Which is like a man leave his father and mother and unite with his wife and
yeah.
They become one Ahad flesh. Even though they're a man and woman, one is pink and one is blue, and they're married to each other, but they become one flesh. That is the same
word. And the only time that word is ever used in Scripture
yes.
is the word, for a united one. So, I mean, that's the foundation verse of all of Judaism. It is the foundation of what all of Christianity is based on.
Yeah.
I mean, we go down to that far because we're talking about one God in three persons.
But to know the reality of the deception of Allah, just read that slide here. When they say, Allah is simply the Arabic name for God. Capital G-O-D, I'm sorry. One singular God, capital G-O-D, I'm sorry again. No partners or equals. That is the stupidity of the blah, 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 blah. Muslims love to say blah, 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 blah. When you dig into it, if it's not blah, 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 it's woe to me, I believe in a lie. That's exactly what we've done. All right, let's move on from the one Allah and God.
All right, make it up here and...
It's gone.
Here we go.
Let's go.
So the next word, headscarf. I think of like Muslims and how like women don't really have any freedom, like kind of like that.
Oh yeah, that thing they wear on like yeah. You're covering yourself too, so other men or something, or only your husband should see the way you look and stuff like that.
Just about how the women are forcing that. You know, holding back or about being concealed. I'm not really sure the word I'm thinking of, but...
Does it remind you of me?
Now it does.
It's very colorful. It is. Fair enough.
Indeed.
I mean, headscarves for different... I mean, cultures mean different things. But headscarves... In the context of Islam, would be trying to cover your beauty.
Muslim women have all rights of their male
counterparts. Paul, you're muted still.
That's probably for Mr. Paul. That's probably good. Stop, Paul. Stop. I want to talk a little bit about the hijab. What I talked about hijab, what presentation I talked about.
You know what I think is important here? I think that last statement, that there are more cultures than Islam that will wear something like a hijab.
Yeah. No. That was some Muslim moderate teaching in America. You see a Muslim lady, she put makeup and red lips and blue eyes and all the color and stuff, they make themselves so beautiful. And they think that Muslims say, oh, it's just culture. Quran chapter 53, 59, I'm guessing. Where's my glasses? I need glasses. Do you have a Quran for you, Paul? 53, 59.
Yeah, 53, 59, I got it.
What is
you prophets, say to your wives and to your daughters and the women of the believers, let down your
covering
over them, that is in this way they will be known. So they will not be harmed, and Allah was forgiving and merciful. That's the whole
thing. By the way, the word harm here is the word molest. And I wish, you know what, this show would be more fun if we can get some Muslims to talk to us. But that's okay. Muslims investigate what I'm teaching you.
Okay, I have a testimony.
Sure, sir.
Okay. I have, in Indonesia, there are many women come to Saudi Arabia to work as a slave. And they're all Muslims. They're all wear hijabs. But guess what? They're molested. They're raped. They get pregnant, they came home to Indonesia with babies or pregnant, and they've all been raped. And also, guess what? In Indonesia, most women who wear hijab become a victim of rape, molestation, and sexual assault.
Hijab will not protect women except in Muhammad days. Why? Because his shoes. Omar, first of all, is the one who invented the hijab. It's not Allah. It's not Muhammad. It was Omar. And in the city of Medina, where Muslims used to live, the streets there are narrow. And when women go to Badi at night, go to use the bathroom at night, that is when Muslim men molest. And so one time, Sahla, one of Muhammad's wives, she went to go party outside in the woods, in the desert. And the boys saw her, and they know her, so they were clapping their hands and named her name. Sahla, we saw you, Sahla, Sahla, here is Sahla, go and party, Sahla. You know, children would do crazy stuff like that. And Omar did not like it, so he went and talked to Muhammad. And then Muhammad talked to Allah, and Jibreel and Muhammad and Allah agreed that Omar is right. We need to cover the lady hijab. That in that way, they will be known. Which means when you see a lady hijab, and by the way, the true Quranical hijab is not what you see in that lady wearing the red covering. No, it is to cover her head down to her body, as she cover her shoulder down to her foot. So the lady will be wearing two dresses, one from the shoulder down, more from the head down, exactly. Sure, you would say whatever you want. You know the truth. And Sister Lynn want to share something. Oh, you what? What? Okay. We'll see you in a little bit. So let me share this quickly with you. So the lady will be literally walking in the street like a sack of potato. You will not know if she is, who is she. Full hijab is the true Islam with one hole in front of your left eye. One hole in front of your left eye. I can share this information with you as maybe I will open my PowerPoint here so you can see this one more time by yourself. So I'm not be the guy who is making it up. I don't make up stuff. All right? So let's close this one. Let's go here. And we'll close this one. See, if you tell me what you're going to be talking about, Paul, I'll be more prepared, man. But I forgive you because I'm a nice guy. Let's go to Sharia. Let's go to Sharia. I believe this will cover this in our presentation about Sharia. So let me just quickly do a quick search for my PowerPoint Sharia. The problem is, you know how big is my computer? Lord help me. It's loaded with hundreds of presentations. Sharia. Nope.
You know, the scary thing today in the United States is that this word, this hijab, is used to get Muslims in every public school. They do something called World Hijab Day, and they'll go in and talk about the beauty of the hijab and how great it is to be modest. And, you know, that's their way into the public schools. A lot of school districts swallow this. And, you know, look at it as cultural, but it is also a submission to Sharia. And
sure.
They're trying to force, they won't say that, but they were, you know, they're trying to give you an impression of something. And, you know, it's kind of powerful the way they're getting in. My biggest problem is the huge amount of misinformation that comes with hijab day.
Yeah. My commentary is not working.
They were trying to do that in the Sunday school literature, Paul, years ago.
Oh.
Yes. It's crazy.
All right. I think I got the presentation here. I think this is the right one. Hopefully it is the right one, so I can share with you this information we talked about in the past as well. That's not the right one. So obviously, let's close this one.
What are you looking for exactly, Islam?
Well, Sister Christian, I'm looking for my PowerPoint Sharia, where I talked about hijab. So I think it is this one here. But anyway, Lord is willing. Lord is willing. Here is hijab. I apologize for that delay because, believe it or not, I thought I have it. And here it is. Here it is. Nope, that's not the right one. So anyway, so if Muslims don't want to talk about it, I will search for it upon the Google. But in simple words, they will walk with one hole in front of the left eye without hijab. And now Muslim men could not molest these ladies in the hijab because they know these are the free Muslim women. A little bit later on, so I'm going to talk about Omar and how Omar, the one who invented the hijab, the one who Allah and Jibreel were in agreement with him towards the hijab, that Omar start beating some of the slaves. Why? Because these slaves got sick and tired of Muslim men molesting them, so they wear the hijab. So Muhammad beat them physically and obviously forced them not to wear hijab because they need some women for the good Muslim men to molest them. If every Muslim slave is covered with hijab, where are we going to get women for men to molest?
It is one of the reasons, you know, makes you think about what's happening in Europe today. As part of the purpose of the Hijra, which is, again, it's migration for the purpose of jihad.
Yeah.
And these are things people need to look at. While we're doing this search, I wanted to point out a comment by Supatiki. Let's pull it up here. And in TV commercials, you see models wearing hijabs for shampoo. Can you believe it?
Yeah.
No, what I see
for all kinds of things. It's crazy.
Yeah, which catch my attention, Christian Paul. What I see now is that we see in many commercials in America, television, Fox News, and others, ladies in hijab to be part of the commercial. It's a commercial about medicine for blood pressure. It's a commercial about whatever, something about any commercial, and you see a Muslim lady in hijab to be part of the commercial.
Yeah.
Why is it doing that? Because Muslims are infiltrating the American TV, because you need to get used to it, to see women who are brushing her teeth maybe with the hijab, women take blood pressure medicine with hijab, some vitamins with hijab, because they want you, the American people, to get used to it, because guess what? That is the reality. Muslim ladies are going to wear the hijab, and you're going to see plenty of them in America, and it becomes the norm, it becomes the usual. But in reality, when you study the history of hijab, you found that the reason Allah causes Muhammad to order his wife and all Muslim believers to wear the hijab, it is to protect them so they will not be molested by Muslim men.
And what does that say that they're allowed to do to those who don't wear the hijab?
I'm sorry, say again, what?
So what are they allowed to do to those women who don't wear the hijab?
Well, if they're free Muslim ladies, they'll be beating. But if they are, slaves, they will, I'm sorry, if they're free Muslim, if they are non-Muslim free woman, if the slave, will be beaten because he wants them to not wear the hijab. Because that hijab is only to protect the free Muslim woman. And if a Muslim lady, believer, she took over the hijab, most likely her father, her husband, will give her some good moralic acid on her face to melt her face, so she has to wear the hijab. Because why a woman will not wear the hijab? To show her beauty. And if she loses her beauty, at the end of it, she's going to wear the hijab. Or if her husband or her father is a good Muslim man, you just go ahead and kill her.
That is one of the things they tell children in public schools, is that it's all a choice.
Sure.
It has nothing, it's not mandatory. They never once tell children that it's mandatory.
Unless her daddy kill her or her husband when she grow up kill her, then it's going to be a real choice. I understand.
But now, you saw in Indonesia right now, Muslim women who are not wearing hijab, they force wear hijab, and even embarrass them in public for not wearing
hijab. They feed them physically. Feed them.
Okay,
I'm
trying to explain what she meant by embarrass them.
They embarrass them, like, oh, you're not a Muslim, or...
Talk them down, you mean. I saw some videos with Brother Adam Seeker from Pakistan. They literally physically make them naked. They make them put their clothes naked, nude. It's to embarrass them and to physically abuse them.
Not yet in Indonesia, but Pakistan is really bad.
It's worse. It's much worse. So anyway, so that is the story about the hijab. I love the hijab. Don't you love the hijab?
We have one short piece here, I think, if you want to do that one.
Let's do it, yes, with that conference. We got conference, we'll do it.
What comes to your mind when you see this picture? Muslim. Okay, although there's a nun in there. Okay.
A nun and Rosalyn Skeppers of Judea. Both.
Religion, being religious and the
headscarf. Can you see religion? I can see, I see diversity, first of all, but at the same time, I see inhibitions in both religions.
What is the last sentence, Christy? I didn't hear what he said.
He said, I see inhibition in both religions. So it's saying...
First of all, Christianity does not teach for ladies to be wearing hijab. Christianity teaches for women to cover their hair while they're praying. Because hair is the beauty of the woman, and we must hide our beauty before the Lord when we pray. That is what the Bible teaches. Nun is not Christianity. The teaching of the nun is not the teaching of Christianity. As a matter of fact, the Bible is very clear. When people forbid marriage, it's the work of Satan. The Bible teaches us, Brother Paul, that forbidding the marriage, that is the work of the devil. What was God's command? Fill the earth. Who died and Eve? What was God's command after the flood? Refill the earth. Same command. Have babies. Lots of them. Now the liberal will tell you that we're so crowded. If you are living in a city which is so crowded, move. Trust me. There's plenty of land in America for all planet Earth to move to it. And the rest of the Earth will be empty. Okay? You can put the whole world within inside Florida. And you have more room than some cities in America or some cities around the world. But God's plan is for him, for people to fill the Earth and then after the flood to refill the Earth. What does a nun do? They're living in disobedience to God's command before and after the flood. What is the monks do? Oh, they're suffering themselves. They're separating from the pleasure of the world and the sexual activity so they can live before God. That is stupidity. That's not a biblical teaching. That's not a biblical teaching. What is this Paul who lived, traveled to ministry without a wife? He said, because of the circumstance which he is living in, he wants people to be like him. The man was living from one prison to another prison. What, he's going to he's gonna hang his wife with him? He's going to have his kids with him in the prison? And he said, for the young ladies who lost a husband, you're not a widow. Get married. Move on with your life. So I don't see where we found the nun to be Christianity for that last idiot to make the comment, well, you know, Christian and Muslim, they both are wrong concerning the hijab. No, nobody forced any nun towards the hijab. Every Muslim lady in planet Earth is forced towards the hijab. Wearing the hijab or wearing the kafala as a nun makes no difference. I have seen and I have lived, my wife is a witness, for ladies in a full hijab in Egypt who are nothing but simple, pure prostitutes. Let me say it again, pure prostitutes. You sleep with her all night long, and if you don't enjoy sex with her all night long, you don't give her a dime. That is the offer given to me by a lady in a full hijab. She told me, I am much beautiful than that woman with you, and I'll give you 10 times blessings on her. Pay me half what you pay her. I was just leaving the hotel in Cairo. And I got mad at the lady and asked her to go. And Vicky said, why are you getting mad at her? I said, she's a prostitute. She offered me herself. A lady in a hijab means nothing. We have some TV programs in Egypt which showing that the majority of prostitutes are ladies in hijabs. So you wear, and by the way, plenty of the nun also are not living morality right. I know this for a fact. Being in Ireland, and we know some of these nuns who live in monasteries in Ireland who have literally like a cemetery under their monastery. Babies are killed from the nuns, those who pray to end the abortion. And guess who is sleeping with them? The monks, the priests. So Christianity is not to live like a monk or a priest to cover your head or cover whatever. It is to live to believe in Christ. And you show me the picture of a nun and a prostitute or a lady in a hijab, and you say it's the same. It's not the same. Once again, ladies cover themselves when they are praying, and that is the biblical teaching. We're not out of time, guys. I apologize. Let's close for the radio, for our group and the radio, and then we'll continue a little bit more. If anybody has any questions, we'll continue. I'm not going to have a close up. So, Christy Paul, please hang with me.
It astounds me that people who are going to buy a new stereo system or a new automobile or a refrigerator will spend a great deal of time reading the magazines, looking into the consumer reports, and selecting the very best one for the money. But when it comes to their eternal souls, they flippantly say, well, everybody has their own belief, you know. One day, a famous preacher in America, Harry Ironside, was preaching on the streets. A passerby interrupted him and said, excuse me, sir, how do you expect an ordinary man like me to figure out the right way? There are thousands of beliefs in the world. Harry Ironside said, sir, thousands of beliefs? I only know of two. Said the man, there's Buddhism and Confucianism and Hinduism and Islam and all the isms of Christendom. What do you mean only two beliefs? Ironside said, there are those who believe they can save themselves and those who believe they need a savior. All of the religions of the world basically tell you there's something you need to do to save yourself. But the message of Christianity is unique in this, that it proclaims to men and women a savior. There are many people who say, well, the Bible is just another holy book. They're all pretty much the same. Now, people who say that haven't done their homework. What God did for us so that we could authenticate the message of Jesus as he came into the world was before ever he came, hundreds of years before he came, to paint a portrait in words that would exactly describe him when he did come. One prophet said that he was going to be betrayed, and you would assume that his betrayal would be done by his enemies. No, said another prophet, it would be his friend, his confidant. You would presume that if he was betrayed by the Jews, that he would be executed by stoning.
That was the traditional form of execution by the Jews. You remember they did it with Stephen. They tried to do it with Paul. No, says another prophet, they will pierce his hands and his feet. In fact, the description of the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus, written about 1,000 years before it happened, describes his crucifixion more than 700 years before crucifixion was invented. You would assume that if a man was to be sold for a price, according to Jewish law, a man would be sold for 50 pieces of silver. No, said the scripture, he will be sold for 30 pieces of silver. Now, isn't that an astounding fact? The very people who were trying to disprove his messiahship knew that scripture. And all they had to do to disqualify him from being the Messiah was pay 31 pieces of silver, and he wouldn't have been the Messiah. And they paid 30 pieces of silver and sealed the amount of money in the public record. Where would the Messiah be born? Where would he come from? Matthew quotes, first of all, that Messiah would be born in Bethlehem, Judah. So said Micah, chapter 5, verse 2, perhaps 750, 800 years before the Lord Jesus came, Messiah would be born in Bethlehem, Judah. You arrange the town you're born in. You try to arrange the family you're born to. I suggest it would be a bit tough to do. But you see, that's not the extent of it, because as I pointed out, it was those who did not want him to look like the Messiah who paid the 30 pieces of silver and who authenticated his messiahship by that. I've given you fulfilled prophecies. There are over 300 of them. Now, my friend, you've got to do something with that. You can ignore it. But if you examine the Word of God, you will discover that unlike any other religion in the world, God has taken your brain seriously, and he has given you hard evidence to believe that Jesus has proven himself to be the Messiah, the Son of God, and declared to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. Christianity is the only belief system in the world that gives you evidence in history to authenticate its truthfulness. But there's more. Some people think that if they do good in certain situations, that they will get a credit with God to overcome the bad things they've done. Some people say, well, I think I'm a pretty good person. Listen, you don't even come up to your own standards, let alone God's. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, in other words, by seeking to live a good life and keep the Ten Commandments, live by the golden rule, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. Everybody falls short of God's standard. No matter how wicked a sinner you are, no matter how good you think you are, God has made an offer to the human race. To those who find the way barred, because their own sin and failure has kept them from meeting God's standard, there is an alternative. It is the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all those who believe, for all have sinned. Christianity is the only belief system in the world that lets you be honest with God about your sin. You ask someone who's trying to get to heaven by the good works, how are you doing? Not bad. Oh, really? Not bad, huh? Oh, doing pretty good. Doing my best. Well, you are. I've never met anybody who does their best, even by their own standards. God doesn't ask you to pretend you're okay. He wants you to be honest with him. Now, listen carefully. And you may not believe me at first, but it's true. Christianity is the only belief system in the world that offers a savior. Islam doesn't offer a savior. Islam says save yourself. It's a do-it-yourself religion. And all the religions of the world fall under the same category. You do it, and if you do it well enough, you'll get to heaven. And as long as you think you can save yourself, any religion will do. When you find out you need a savior, the list is very short. There's only one, and his name is Jesus. Now, save yourself is an absolutely ludicrous statement. If you're in a burning building, and you're screaming out the window, help, save me, and I'm walking by and I say, oh, save yourself. Listen, if you can save yourself, you don't need to. You can't save yourself. When Christ died on the cross, he paid the debt you owed. And in exchange for your sin, taking your sin, he has offered you his rightness, his righteousness as a gift, a free exchange. Salvation is not something you earn. Salvation is a gift. Every other religion ultimately says that when you stand before God, you're desperately hoping that he's going to fudge a bit to let you into heaven. There's no follower of any religion that says, when I stand before God someday, I'm going to say to him, okay, God, here's your challenge. Put my life up on this side. Put your law on that side. And I challenge you to find one thing wrong with my life. Is that what people are going to say? Oh, no. They're hoping against hope that somehow they're going to slip in, maybe in the top half percent, you know? Maybe they're going to get in if God won't be too careful at looking at their life. However, can I expect to get into heaven? Oh, says God, here's what we'll do. I'll account your debt to my son. He'll pay it in full. So God sets the standard. God hands over the bill, and then he pays it himself. Examine the evidence. Not only the evidence in the Bible, the evidence in your own heart that you're a sinner and you need a Savior, and you can't save yourself. And then read what the Bible has to say about the Lord Jesus, the Savior of sinners. He came to save you. And if you will, as the Bible declares, be honest with God about your sin. That's what the Bible calls repentance. And receive the Lord Jesus as the Savior of sinners. Say, oh God, I don't know why you'd want me. I'm damaged goods. But you said that whoever came to you, you would in no wise cast out. Take me now. Save me now. I give up. I'll accept the gift of God, eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.